It's good to see all of you here this morning. We want to talk about freedom. And notice that the first part of the service, we celebrated freedom. In 1751, the Pennsylvania Assembly ordered a bell to be made to commemorate the 50th anniversary of William Penn's Charter of Privileges. They called the bell the Freedom Bell or the Liberty Bell. In Penn's charter, which was, of course, Pennsylvania's original constitution, he speaks of the rights and freedoms valued by people the world over. The quotation that they put on the bell is the title of my talk this morning from Leviticus chapter 25, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land." On the hilltop in Washington, D.C. stands our Capitol building. The cornerstone was laid in 1793, but the crowning touch was the statue at the top of the rotunda, known as the Freedom Lady, that was placed there in 1863. In 1787, our Constitution was written and it was sent out for ratification among the various states. As the ratification process went along, people wanted the guarantee of specific freedoms. And within a few years, the Bill of Rights was added to accomplish that. 10 amendments to the Constitution: freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of people to peaceably assembly, et cetera, et cetera. Clearly a theme at the founding of our nation and a theme throughout is this concept of freedom. We're not the only country on the planet or the only nation on the planet that has freedom, but there's a lot that don't. And so we're celebrating our freedom as a nation on the 4th of July and today on the 6th of July. But there's also a different kind of freedom that every person needs and yearns for deep down in their heart and soul. In the movie The Patriot, it's the story of a fictitious character named Benjamin Martin and his family's involvement in the American Revolution and the price that they paid, along with a lot of other people, to secure freedom from Great Britain, freedom from tyranny, as they called it. The movie begins with the opening credits rolling, and Benjamin Martin says this line: "I have long feared that my sins would return to visit me." Martin fought in an earlier war in his background with French and Native Americans, and though he was a war hero at the time, he was haunted by his actions. Later in the movie, when tragedy hits his family, Martin repeats this same line: "I have long feared that my sins would return to visit me." So Benjamin Martin needs freedom, but he needs a different kind of freedom than political freedom. He needs a different kind of freedom than even religious freedom. Social freedom. He needs a freedom of the spirit and the soul. And the Bible talks a fair amount about that concept. And it lays out this idea that that's exactly what God wants for us as human beings. Real, permanent, eternal, lasting freedom. Turn with me, if we would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I want to look at the text in Galatians 5 together and just unfold a little bit from that text. There's a verse that I gave in your outline that's a little further down your outline, but just let me read it right now for you and listen to what it says in Revelation 1. "Christ loves us, and by his blood he set us free from our sins." Jesus says in John chapter 8, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed," or "for sure," or "absolutely free." So freedom is a very important concept to God, but it's freedom as we understand it from the Word of God. It's freedom of soul and freedom of the spirit. May or may not be freedom as we have in our country politically and that kind of thing. Galatians chapter 5, let's look at, pull out from some things from this text. Galatians 5, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and then I'll jump to verse 13 and read 13 through 15. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Verse 3, again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law, because circumcision was part of the Old Testament Mosaic law. Verse 4, you who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Now, he's writing to believers in the book of Galatians. Jump to verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. I don't know if you know that or not. As followers of Christ, we're called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Verse 14, the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Let me give you three principles I see from this text about freedom, about God's freedom, freedom of spirit, freedom of soul that God provides and wants for each of us. First principle is this. God's freedom is resting in what God has done for you. That's true freedom, the ability to rest in what God has done for you. Sydney, Australia, a prisoner escaped from jail. He did it by climbing under the hood of a van that was delivering bread to the institution. And when the van made its next stop, the prisoner sneaked out from underneath the hood, hot and dirty, only to find himself in the yard of another prison that the van was delivering bread to. Like that prisoner, our own attempts at lasting soul-spirit freedom often actually leave us in another prison, if you will. That's why Paul says in verse 1, do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. See, because sometimes our attempts at freedom, if you will, actually turn us away from God's freedom and into religious legalism. Easy to have happen. That's exactly what Paul says in verse 4 of this text. Look what he says in verse 4. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Religious legalism strips you of your relationship with Jesus Christ. It destroys the grace of God in your life. That's why Paul calls it a yoke of slavery. That's why he's so concerned about his readers buying this lie that in order to truly be God's child, in order to truly be saved and be forgiven for your sins, you must obey the law of God. Religious legalism does great harm to God's people and to relationships with God's people. Look what he says in verse 15. Look how he describes the dynamics going on in the Christians in this church. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, the attitude of religious legalism destroys. It doesn't build up. You see, it creates an environment where instead of forgiveness, there's condemnation. It creates an environment instead of when someone missteps, they're harshly judged or look down upon. Sometimes we put Christians in a box. We say, if you're a follower of Jesus, then this is how you should look, and this is what you should be. And we put people in a kind of box where if they don't fit our box that we've come up with, then we reject them or look down on them. That's religious legalism. And it tears down, doesn't build up. Paul mentions the source of this in the Galatians text, in Galatians 2:4. Galatians 2:4, he says, some false brothers have infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. So that's what's going on. See, true freedom, soul freedom, spirit freedom from God comes not from what we do for Jesus, but what Jesus has done for us and does for us. We don't earn God's love. We're invited to enjoy it, to appreciate it, to celebrate it, to experience, but we don't earn it. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. The path of religious legalism is a heavy, heavy burden to carry. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. God's freedom means resting, relaxing, appreciating, enjoying all the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. That's the first principle I want you to see. Second one is this. God's freedom is living life empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see, when we as followers of Jesus begin to grasp this concept of true freedom in Christ, freedom from the penalty of sin, freedom from all that that means for our lives, we run into an opposite danger. The opposite danger Paul expresses in verse 13. It's using this freedom in Christ as a license to live however we want. Look what he says in verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Indulge here is a word that means a starting point. It was used as a beachhead for the army to move forward from. It's a base of operation. He's saying, do not use your freedom in Christ, which you truly have. You are freed from judgment of sin by God. You're freed from the penalties of sin in your life. You are freed from all of that. But don't use that as a launching pad to live any way you want, your selfish desires. Don't allow your freedom as an excuse to participate, if you will, in sin. Paul actually heard Christians argue this way or discuss this way, that since God's grace is so amazing and we have so much freedom in Christ and we can live however we want and still the grace of God will cover it. In the book of Romans, he addresses that issue. So what he does in the book of Romans is early on, he details in the book of Romans about the truth that our righteousness is not something we earn. It's given to us when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. We can't earn it. And he explains how that's always been the case from Abraham on. And then he talks about this grace of God, that God's willing to do this for us. It's so huge it covers all sin. So regardless of your past, regardless of how you've lived, God's grace is capable of dealing with that and freeing you from the penalty of sin and freeing you from the judgment of God and freeing you as a person in soul and spirit so that you're not like Benjamin Martin waiting for the day when your sins will come back to haunt you, because Jesus Christ has dealt with that for you. So with all that, he then asks a very interesting question. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then based on all of this? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? You see, if God's grace is so amazing and covers all sin, then it really doesn't matter how I live. As long as I have the grace of God in my life and Jesus in my life, I can live any way I want, and the grace of God will cover it, so no big deal. I'll sin. In fact, if I sin a lot, grace will increase and cover it. That's the argument. And what does he say? By no means. Now, that's a really mild English translation. Can I tell you what it really means? Are you crazy? That's idiotic to think that way. We died to sin, it says in the text. In other words, Christ has dealt with it and put it aside. How can we live in it? Why in the world would you want to go down that path instead of living for Christ? Look what it says in 1 Peter 2, 16, 17. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Live instead as servants of God and show respect for everyone. Paul declares, after declaring we need to stand firm in the freedom we have in Christ, I didn't read this, but in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, look what it says. So I say, live by the Spirit. Be empowered by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. That's true freedom. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 22, he talks about the result of this approach to life, this soul-spirit freedom, that we turn our lives over to the Spirit of God, and he directs it, and he transforms it, and he changes it. And he lists the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He says, this is the kind of person you can be in this freedom in Christ. And then he says at the end of that list, and against this, there is no law. A law cannot create this. Religious legalism cannot create these qualities. They can only be created and produced by the Spirit of God. So living by the power of the Spirit of God. The third one I want you to see. True freedom means resting in what God's done for us, learning how to enjoy that, relax in that, and not be like Benjamin Martin, walking around waiting for the day for the hammer to drop. True freedom means living empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is not pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. That's not what this is. This is living a life that's surrendered to the Holy Spirit, where you recognize His authority in your life and you surrender to Him and you pay attention to Him and you respond to His lead in your life. The third one, God's freedom is serving and loving others. True freedom, soul freedom, spirit freedom. Eddie became tired of life and decided to jump off a bridge and commit suicide. Jim happened to be walking by. He saw Eddie down in the water, and he realized he was in trouble, so he jumped him after him. The problem is Jim wasn't a very good swimmer. Eddie, who was a very good swimmer, who had just jumped off the bridge to kill himself, saw Jim struggling, realized he was about to drown, so Eddie goes over and saves Jim. And Eddie says afterwards, "Saving that stranger changed my life. Because then I realized I had something to offer. Life was worth living. I could do something for others to make a difference in people's lives." It completely shifted his whole perspective about himself. That's what Paul says in this text. In chapter 5, verse 13, he says, "Rather serve one another in love." This idea of serve is a term that was used often in slavery. It means to be a slave of others. It means to sacrifice yourself for others, to put others first, as we see in Scripture over and over again. That's true freedom. Eager to serve other people. Freedom plus love is service to others, and freedom minus love is slavery to sin. I've noticed over the years it's so easy for a lot of us as God's people to go pick a church to be part of that is going to minister to us. I really think the first question we should ask when we go to a church is, where's a church where I can minister to others? That's priority one, in service to others. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. Look what he says in verse 14. He says in verse 14, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of people, including a lot of Christians, that tend to be like Benjamin Martin. They walk around with this idea, thou shalt not is what it's all about. That's a spirit of legalism, which means you walk through life like it's a minefield, and you're always very careful to not make a wrong step, and then when you do make a wrong step, the hammer comes down. That's not a way to live. The text says in Galatians 5:1, that Christ died for our freedom, to be free from that guilt, to be free from that condemnation, to be free to serve the living God. Law builds fences, love builds bridges, and we're called to love and serve because of our freedom in Jesus. It's my observation that a lot of Christians over the years, I've observed, that have a really hard time engaging and serving others. It's because they've not experienced and engaged themselves in this truth that they don't have to be a Benjamin Martin. Many, many, many Christians that I have talked to said, I can't serve because I have this problem in my life. That's a Benjamin Martin. Not realizing what Jesus has done. Not understanding the freedom we have because of Jesus Christ and all He's accomplished and done for us. We do not have to walk around waiting for the hammer to drop. We do not have to walk around waiting until we have all of our act together before we can serve others and be used of God. And Paul makes that very clear. Look what he says in Romans 13:8-10. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The outbreak of the Revolutionary War, the American statesman Patrick Henry uttered the famous phrase, "Give me liberty or give me death." It became the slogan for the revolution, liberty or death. That was your choices, liberty or death. New Hampshire, state motto. Ready for the state motto? Live free or die. That's the state motto. I guess they take their freedom very seriously in New Hampshire. But God takes our freedom very seriously as well. He yearns and wants for us to be free. And God's motto is this: freedom through my son or death. That's your two choices. Freedom through Jesus Christ or death. Romans 3:22-24. God puts people right through their faith in Jesus Christ. God does this to all who believe in Christ because there is no difference at all. Everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. But by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Christ Jesus, who does what? Sets them free. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. So here's a question this morning to wrap this up. Are you a Benjamin Martin or are you free? Do you walk around in this life? Of course you have sin in your life. Who doesn't? But do you walk around with that reality and say, I'm just waiting for God to finally bring down the hammer? Do you walk around wondering when everything's going to unravel and go bad because of something you did 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 40 years ago? Are you full of fear and uncertainty about your life, your relationship with God, and your future? Because you think that God someday, somehow, is going to nail you to the wall. And you know that you deserve to be nailed to the wall. Colossians tells us that Jesus was nailed to the cross so we wouldn't be nailed to the wall. That our sins are removed. That there is no condemnation. Jesus died so we could be free from that fear. Free from that doubt. Free from that uncertainty. Most of us in this room are probably Christians. In other words, we've asked Jesus to be our Savior. How many of us as Christians are Benjamin Martins? Still thinking that sometime, somewhere, somehow, because you're not perfect and you blow it, that God is going to nail you to the wall because of your sin. If that's you and you're a follower of Jesus, hear what I'm telling you. Christ died so you could be free from that. Christ paid for every one of our sins, past, present, and future. We do not have to walk around shackled with guilt, shackled with fear, shackled with doubt. If we rest in Jesus Christ and all he's done for us, then we're free to what? Serve the living God. Free to surrender to him. Free to enjoy him. Free to experience him. Free to be loved by him. Free to love him in return. And free to serve him. Even with our stuff, because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's have a prayer together. Father, thank you for this truth, this freedom in Jesus Christ. I'm convinced there's many of us sitting in this room that have not allowed this truth to seep into our soul. We're still walking around like Benjamin Martin, just wondering and waiting and thinking someday, somehow, God is going to condemn me and judge me because of all my sin. Free us from that, Lord. Help us to believe the truth of your word, that we are free from that in Jesus Christ. All our sin is paid for. And we have the privilege of serving the living God. We have the privilege of knowing his forgiveness and his love and his presence in our life. We have the joy of making a difference in people's lives through Jesus Christ. I pray that today, as we celebrate freedom, every one of us will truly experience the freedom of Jesus Christ in our hearts and our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.